traffic trends.
Operation Crash Reduction is one way to address this number of deaths and decrease it this year.
WPTF AccuWeather forecast cloudy today and a high of 64. I'm Steve O'Brien in the WPTF News Center.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Scott Brigham for Advanced Body Scan of Raleigh. According to the American Cancer Society, many women who are diagnosed with breast cancer have no symptoms prior to their diagnosis. That's why early screening is vital. Call Advanced Body Scan of Raleigh today for a couple's heart and lung scan for just $149, a savings of more than $2,500 per couple. In addition to breast cancer, women are at risk for lung, ovarian, uterine, and colorectal cancers. Full body scans at Advanced Body Scan of Raleigh can detect these cancers. The heart is the strongest muscle in your body, but that doesn't mean it isn't vulnerable to impacts from smoking, an unhealthy diet, and yes, stress. And let's face it, the last year and a half has been stressful for a lot of us. So now is the perfect time to reset and reach out to Advanced Body Scan of Raleigh. Call Advanced Body Scan of Raleigh today and learn about the health benefits of a couple's heart and lung scan for just $149, a savings of more than $2,500 per couple. Go online to abs.health.
The following is a paid program, and the views expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPTF or Curtis Media Group. Information provided is of a general nature. Listeners seeking specific advice should contact a licensed professional in the appropriate area. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
You can get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening to this radio show every single week. We're glad you're listening to today's show.
You know, you can listen on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, we're on Apple
Podcasts.
Two
ways, Apple Podcasts, but also you can go to WPTF.com and search for the show.
Right.
And you can listen to every show.
And you can go to hearthealthradio.com, which for some people is a easier link.
Yeah.
And you just click, and then you're there. I got a lot of things on today's show, but of course, your phone calls will always come first.
Essential part of the show, your call.
People who eat meat are less anxious. I
had
know
some
why.
Bacon this morning just to get ready for the show.
So here's medical science is proving something, and I know why, and the doctor doesn't know why. I mean, literally. I know why that's true.
Well, and
it's got nothing to do with science.
Is it chicken or the egg? Is it meat or the relaxation?
Exactly right.
Is it relaxation or the meat?
China has come out with, well, it's not like they invented it, but there have been more cases of something called H5N6 bird flu. Now, if this happens to be 8 miles from the H5N6 bird flu clinic, research facility, clearly, I'm not going to believe it's true. Also, brain stimulation can treat depression.
This, I think, is one of the most important stories of the year. I'm serious, because depression is such a big problem.
Right.
And this is, I'm going to say, almost a miracle.
And this is among people who were ordinarily not treatable.
Or if they're treatable, it's not complete. In other words, yeah, you get out of your funk. You don't want to kill yourself anymore, right. But you're not happy.
Right.
And these guys at Stanford, and I'll tell you, Stanford's a great place. And these guys at Stanford have come up with, I think, something that's going to be revolutionary in the mental health field.
We'll jump into that, but I want to deal with the story that we ended with last week, and we never got to properly. Mother of three takes a DNA test, and it's for insurance purposes that she had to prove that she was actually the mom.
And she wasn't, according to the standards of the law. The DNA didn't match.
How is that even possible?
Okay. So people don't realize, I think, and before I saw this article, I didn't really realize that when you are in the womb, a lot of times there's another baby in there. But the problem is the baby doesn't survive. So there are multiple instances where there are twins or triplets, and two of the embryos don't make it.
Right.
And you make it. And then extremely rarely, okay, the twin is absorbed into your body.
Now, this all happens before anybody knows you're a twin or a triplet. Or
well, yeah, it's not like sharks, okay? Right. Sharks have twins. You know why they only born one?
Yeah.
They, one eats the other one.
Yeah, that's
okay, and that's not what's happened.
No.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, in a sense, because what happened to this lady was that her twin that normally would have just decomposed because it wasn't right got absorbed into her body.
Okay.
So this woman, the meat of her, the bones of her, okay?
Yes.
Is her.
Yeah.
But her blood?
Yeah.
Is her twin sister. No joke.
So when
So when they tested the DNA.
Right. They did it with blood?
Blood.
Right.
They got her sister.
Ugh.
And so her sister's not the mother of her kids.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Now, there's also a situation where the cells merge at an early period, and they're basically half the sister or brother and half them all over. And the most amazing thing is you can take a black light and shine it on their back.
Oh, no.
And there are stripes like tigers of your brother and you or your sister and you.
Okay, now this is along the lines of where I think people are making things up just to get on the show.
It's not made up. It's true. And so it's the amazing thing about life.
Yeah.
And it's not always what you think. And how rare is this? Extremely rare.
Yeah.
But you use these examples to show how accurate testing of genetics can be. And I think the most amazing thing, you know what they did?
What?
They took a biopsy of her muscle.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was her kid's mom. So the blood was her sister, and the rest of her body was her.
Unbelievable.
It's just fantastic. And have you done 23andMe?
No.
You know what that is?
Yeah,
Ancestry.com?
Yeah.
So I sent it in. Okay. I swabbed my cheek, put it in the tube, and sent it in. And I lied. Okay? I'm going to admit it right now.
Yes.
I lied.
You did.
I told him I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my genetic background was. I said, I'm an orphan. And so I wanted to see, you know, yeah, right, Chinese and Norwegian. You're going to get that. I really believe you. So it comes back. Okay?
Yeah.
Not only half Norwegian, half Chinese, down the middle.
Yes.
But they knew my dad's family was from a town outside Oslo.
Really?
And they knew my mom came from Shanghai. I kid you not. They got it right.
Wow.
100% right. But you know what the most amazing thing was?
What's that?
1.8% Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more Native American than Elizabeth Warren. She was 1.6%. Now, why is that?
Well, you don't have to be very Native American to be more than she was.
But why is that?
Because
come on. You don't know your history.
No, I do know.
Okay.
Where did
the inhabitants of North and South America come from?
They walked right over the Bering Strait.
From
Asia.
China.
From China.
Specifically across the Pacific.
Yes, they did.
From China.
Yeah.
So, and the funny thing is, because I'm half Chinese, half white, people guess. They think I'm Polynesian.
Yeah.
They think I'm Hawaiian.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, they all thought I was Native American. So you know what my nickname was in high school?
I do.
Tonto. I loved it. But anyway, so genetic testing is fascinating. And then there's another thing happening.
What's that?
Okay, so 23andMe, it tells you who your relatives are. I've got thousands of cousins in China I never knew about.
Really?
And I have emailed them, and we've talked. It's fantastic. I've got cousins in Norway.
Yes.
In fact, there's a guy named Weefald in Norway who looks just like me.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what he does for a living?
He's
a professional base jumper. You know what that is? He jumps off of buildings with a bungee cord And apparently that's a sport in Norway, okay? But the reason why he looks like me is that he's half Laplander, half Norwegian.
Right.
And you know, people don't know this, that the Norskis, 10,000 years ago, pushed out the native Norwegians and pushed them up toward the North Pole.
Okay.
And they were from Central Asia originally. So the world is a fascinating place.
Are we ever going to talk about medicine today?
Yeah, this is medicine. This is genetics. This is where we come from. And I think it's just fascinating. I think everybody should do it. But here's the one thing.
Yeah.
A friend of mine wouldn't do it.
No.
He said, you know what? Number one, the government will track you down.
That's right.
That is not true. The second thing, he said, what if my cousin is a murderer?
Yes.
And they trace his DNA back to me.
Right.
You know, and so they can prove he's the murderer. I said, yeah. And I said, if your cousin's a murderer, don't you want him to get caught?
You do.
Yeah.
You do. I mean, I got a lot of dodgy cousins. That would keep me away from them.
Yeah, I think my cousins don't want anybody to know that I'm really their cousin.
So brain stimulation.
Yeah.
Can treat depression.
Let me tell you what
happened. What is brain stimulation?
Okay, so the MRI. What is an MRI? You know? Magnetic resonant imaging.
Yeah.
How does it work? So the magnet takes over your whole physics. You know, we are chemicals.
Sure.
We are atoms. Sodium, cesium. There's some cesium in us. And so when the magnet goes on, it's a very powerful magnet. I mean, I saw a video on YouTube of accidents in the MRI room.
Yes.
Never bring an oxygen tank into the MRI room.
No,
it's solid iron, right? It's magnetic. So they turned on the magnet. That thing flew. They're heavy, 20, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Flew across the room and slammed into the magnet as quickly as you could say Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have chemicals in our body that react to magnets. So the way it works is that the atoms in your brain or your lung, whatever you're imaging, line up in one direction with the magnet because they are magnetic.
Yeah.
So they all line up in one direction, and magnet's on. Have you ever heard the thing?
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam.
I have heard it, yes.
Super cool, all this stuff. And then they turn the magnet on. Boop. And the nuclei start going back to their same position. But they let off an electron. And the pattern of the electrons coming out of your brain are imaged on the detector.
Okay.
And then the computer says, if this is how the electrons look coming out, this is what it must have been like on the inside. But what does this mean? It means that the magnet affects your brain. It changes the chemistry of your brain ever so quickly, ever so slightly. So there were some people who were really depressed, and they wound up getting MRI scan.
Right.
And some of them came out and said, I feel better.
Yeah.
I'm not depressed. And they didn't believe him, right?
Yeah,
called
sure.
The placebo effect.
Yeah.
Well, some guys at Stanford said, wait a minute, what if this is real? Okay. So they have these handheld magnets that emit the kind of magnetism that an MRI does. So what they do is they take an MRI and they try to figure out where this part of your brain is, and they slap this sucker on your head and they give you an amazing jolt of magnetism.
Yeah.
And they did 29 patients, it's called open label. So the patient knew what they were getting, and the physician knew what they were getting.
Right.
And 28 of them came out really well. They had some people who were suicidal. They'd been depressed and suicidal since they were in high school. Of course, I got depressed and suicidal in high school when I got turned down for the prom. I'm joking. But anyway, that's the difference, okay?
Yeah.
That is a joke because, that's the difference between when you say you're depressed because you got turned down for the prom, or when you have a biochemical problem with your brain that is not allowing the emotion of happiness and the suppression of these negative thoughts to occur. So they decided, already, to do a double-blinded study.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took half the people who were depressed.
Yeah.
And they gave them the intense magnetic treatment. It's over 5 days.
Yes.
And then they gave half nothing. And they pretended. Okay, so they said. And they asked the people, do you think you got it or do you think you didn't get it? And half, they were right. And 28 of the 29 who got it in the study were markedly improved. and only 5 out of 30 in the sham group showed any improvement whatsoever. So the bottom line is, I think this is going to be revolutionary. And so psychiatrists are going to be treaters, I think.
Put them in the machine.
Yeah.
Shake
put them in
up
the machine. And but it's 5
cesium?
Days of intensive magnetism.
Yeah.
Now, they had started to do this with like 6-week treatments of, you know, kind of a low-dose magnet. You know, when you were growing up, did you have that U-shaped magnet you
yes.
could pick
yes.
up a Tonka truck with? Yeah. They kind of hold that to the head. I'm kidding. But now these guys at Stanford had the cojones.
Yeah.
Let's give them a big dose.
Big dose of magnetism.
Yeah. And it worked. So, listen, people like me, if you're out there who have dealt with depression, who are on meds, if it gets worse or if you are bad off, listen, help is coming. And I think this is going to be FDA approved. Talk to your psychiatrist, because you could even get in a study now at places that are doing it.
And we already know it's safe.
Yeah.
And because
we've been having
this.
MRIs for years and years and years and right. years and years.
We're going to pick up with Ray in Nashville coming up. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com. Ray in Nashville, welcome to the program. Hello.
How y'all doing?
We're doing all right.
Are you at Dollywood right now?
No, he's a different Nashville.
I'm kidding.
He's in Nash County. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing real good. Doing real good. I wanted to emphasize with my favorite doctor there that I hate to hear him knock that DNA thing, because my wife found my entire family on my dad's side, and I've never met him. I got a sister I'm constantly in touch with, which they all look like me. My grandpa looks just like me, just like he was talking about that, and I never would have found him.
No, I don't knock it at all. I recommend everybody do it.
I knock it. Dave knocks it because
no, I love it.
I got a lot of dodgy cousins who probably don't want to be known.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are all these people now who were born with artificial insemination.
Sure.
Their mothers were single moms, or their dads and moms couldn't have a baby.
Yeah.
They're now getting together as a chat group initially.
Right.
Finding out about each other from 23andMe, and some of the sperm donors now have been identified, and they're allowing themselves to be identified, and they're having reunions. This one guy had 120 kids, and
yeah.
they all got together, and they all loved each other. It was amazing.
Yeah, I found out mine on I was trying to do the ancestor thing, because I wanted to find my ancestors, because my daughter was wanting to know about it. So anyway, mine came back. I was 25% English, which makes sense, because my mom was English. But then it came back that majority of me is native, you know, 37%, and the rest are other things. But anyway, I found out my dad, he's through my sister and everybody else. Now, he's born on the Potawatomi Reservation. And
that's
so
awesome.
Grandpa and everybody. So that's the reason I've got so much native in me. And all my life, people are looking at me saying, I don't know what he is, but he's something.
Well, you know, there's an article that I saw that someone did not know their genetic destiny or ancestry, found out they were 40% Cherokee, and they got the money from the casino on that basis. In other words, if you're a certain, you can share in the largesse of the gambling casinos.
Yeah.
But the other thing we haven't talked about is health. So you can get on 23andMe, and you know the BRCA1 gene, the BRCA gene for breast cancer. They'll tell you if you have that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm participating in a bunch of trials. I gave permission for them to use my DNA, and then I gave an extensive history, you know, medical history.
Sure.
And they're collecting all that information and trying to find out the genes responsible for some of these things. So I think it's well worth doing. I recommend everybody. And the government's not going to track you down on the basis of your DNA.
The IRS tracked me down years ago.
Oh, yeah.
We're one and one. So
what's the gene for not paying your taxes? I think there probably is one, and I've got it. You know, but that's fantastic. Wow. I'm really glad you found out. You know,
that's
and what was great for me were all these Chinese people and all these Norwegians.
Yeah,
you know, that I never knew, And, you know, when I go to China now, we're going to have a WeFi reunion in Shanghai, and I'm going to have to pay for it. But yes. Luckily, it'll be dumplings. You know, we'll just
10% Scottish, but I have no idea what to do with that one.
Well, you knew how before, too, right?
Somebody that one, they'll go, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, that's because you like to wear kilts. You know, that was in your genes, you know. But anyway, that's fascinating. Did you do, which one did you do, Ancestry or 23andMe?
I did Ancestry. My goal was Ancestry complete, and it works really good because those leaf things they advertise, that is a remarkable. I mean, I got to see, you know, birth certificates and all this other stuff to verify everything. But we just wanted Ancestry. We wasn't really thinking medical time because I've never met my father, and, you know, my daughter kept wanting to know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I don't have a grandpa. What was he like? Do you know? And I know I don't. I was just told that he was native, and my goal was to, before I leave the earth, I wanted my daughter to know where, you know.
I think that's great. I think it's fantastic what you did. But I you know, want to emphasize that there's going to be a lot coming out about health and about the genes that are responsible. There was a movie star, I can't remember her name, who did 23andMe, and she came back with the genes for breast cancer, and she said, okay, I'm going to go get examined, and she had it. And she got bilateral mastectomies and took out all the breast tissue and then got implants and, you know, saved her life.
Wow.
Yeah, we're looking at down the road here doing exactly what you said because it has such good results. We're thinking about on our health thing, the same as you just talked about. So all the way around, we're pretty positive about the DNA structure thing.
Yeah, I recommend it highly.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray. Have a great day.
All right, take care. People who eat meat are less anxious than vegans.
Yeah.
And I know why.
Tell me why.
You ever meet a vegan?
Yeah.
They are the most brittle people in the whole world. They are so worried about the environment, so worried about everything.
They're just anxious.
They're
as
just
all
anxious to begin with.
Well, and I actually, yeah. Is it really the meat that makes you less anxious? I think that's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay. Were we vegans originally? Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we couldn't catch anything. Right.
So why did we evolve into the, you know, smart people that we are, that, you know, develop culture and tools and everything? It's because we started to eat meat. And if you don't believe it, then don't believe it. The proteins are so essential and the fats are so essential to what? Brain growth. And so what separated us from the chimpanzees and the bonobo? You know, we're 99%, talking about DNA, 99% of our DNA is an exact match to a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
It's that 1%, and it is associated with brain growth and brain development, and you can't do it without protein. Now, get this. Vegans can get enough protein.
Right.
But they got to do it the right way. They got to eat garbanzo beans and soybeans and stuff like that there. Now, I want to tell you something that I saw the other day. It's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
I was looking for some A1 steak sauce.
Yeah.
So I say this off-label steak sauce, 100% vegan. I mean, come on. You're gonna feel better eating a big hunk of porterhouse because your steak sauce is vegan?
All right. We're going to pick up in just a moment with some interesting articles, one about leaky gut, which I don't even believe exists, but doctor says it does. That's
no,
coming up
I'm,
next.
I'm saying let's talk
Heart
about
Health
it.
Radio.
Let's talk about it.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Weefald? Call 919-860-9783.
This is Heart Health Radio. Both of us are sitting here with the headphones off. We're just leaned back. I had my feet up on the desk.
I was drinking my Mountain Dew.
All right. So the subject is leaky gut syndrome. Let me give the telephone number here. 919-860-9783. Always call between noon and 2 on a Saturday, and Dr. Weefald will talk to you. Leaky gut syndrome.
I've had a lot of patients come to me and they say, Dr. Weefall, do I have leaky gut? And so then I ask them to take off their trousers and I check the back of their underwear. No. And if it's discolored, yeah, you got some leaky gut. No, I'm kidding. It's supposedly, and this is alternative medicine, people. They're trying to sell you their supplements.
Yeah.
To make your gut not leaky. And, you know, it just is amazing. Maybe it's true, but it hasn't been studied. So what is the concept of leaky gut? The concept is all the poisons and toxins, instead of staying in your small intestine,
yeah,
leak into your bloodstream.
Okay.
And make you feel bad.
Sure.
And so it has a theoretical basis. You know, the small intestine has a purpose, and that is to absorb nutrients. Okay.
Right.
So if it's leaky, that is to say all the tight junctions between the cells aren't really strong, then maybe some of those toxins can leak out of your gut and into your bloodstream. So they try to sell you all this stuff, and I don't even remember what it is, to stop the leaky gut. Now, there are some science. It's not taught in medical school, by the way. If you go to Johns Hopkins,
okay,
and you go to the gastroenterology section, you won't hear anything about leaky gut, although it, okay, is a woke concept.
So, yeah. Okay.
You know, and so it may start to be taught. But, you know, the alternative medicine thing, I embrace some of it, okay, because it's been proven. Turmeric as an anti-inflammatory agent. It's not a cure-all. I mean, turmeric, you know, it's a spice. It's been around since time immemorial.
Right.
But they studied it in chronic back pain, and it did have some effect. And for me in particular, I started taking turmeric, and I started taking purified fish oil, and I started taking ginger because my C-reactive protein, a measure of chronic inflammation in my body, was, yeah, extremely high.
Okay.
Now, I'm a sugaraholic. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar, yeah, at supper time.
Yeah.
Your dad ever sing that to you?
No.
My dad sang that all the time. And I have not cut back on my sugar. I have not cut back on my white flour. I've made a choice for me.
Right.
And yet, my C-reactive protein is less than 0.1. So it's gone from really high to immeasurably low.
Without changing your diet, just
adding something.
Right.
So I am not suggesting that you all go out there and start that stuff. What's the thing on Fox News that you can buy that all the celebrities are selling now? I can't believe I can't remember this. It's a supplement for pain.
Right.
It works.
Sebastian Gorka does the commercials.
Yes, yes.
It's, if I could remember it.
Oh, well, we'll think of it in a second.
It's on my shelf right next to the Alzheimer's.
Well, that stuff,
right,
is turmeric and ginger.
Yeah.
And milk thistle.
Yeah.
Plus some, resveratrol. We haven't talked about resveratrol.
Yeah.
I don't take resveratrol, but that's another one. It's made from grape skins. And that's another one of these natural compounds that has been studied in a scientific way, and it does lower inflammation. So I'm not touting all this stuff to tell you that it's going to cure your diseases. No. I'm going to tell you that it lowers the level of inflammation in your body, which has been shown to help your health. Okay, so why did some people in COVID, who got COVID, get so sick?
Hmm.
Their body produced an inflammatory response that messed up their breathing and their lungs and clots and brains. Inflammation is the number one word on this show if you want to talk about health. You can lower your inflammation by doing what I say that I don't do, and that's cut out sugar, cut out white flour, cut out white potatoes, cut out white rice, and go to whole grains. And the husk is really important. Now, people ask, you got the husk, but inside you still got the endosperm. That's the white part of the white rice. Somehow, and I don't know the biochemistry, having the husk sort of cancels out the bad part of the white rice. Okay? The bad part of the rice. So anyway, just to tell you, I do embrace some of the, you know, holistic things, but I just don't know if leaky gut's real.
And this, the thing that they're selling is polyphenols.
Yes, phenols. I forgot. polyphenols. I don't know. I don't know if polyphenols can hurt you. That's the other theme of this show.
Right.
Is if you want to take a bunch of B vitamins, have at it, because they can't hurt you.
Okay.
I mean, it'll make your toilet bowl yellow, because 99.9% of it is going to go out in the pee-pee. But I don't know. But as long as things don't hurt you. The thing I warn people about is buying all these Chinese herbs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's in them. Number one, they're made in China, and there's no quality control. Zip.
Right.
Zero. A lot of these Chinese, what are they called? Generic drug manufacturer. I mean, it might as well be sawdust paste.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There's one Chinese company got levothyroxine on the market, which is an essential thing for people with low thyroid function.
Okay.
It's a chemically induced thyroid hormone. And it was maybe 10% of what we sell in the United States. So 25 micrograms was really about 2 micrograms. So they got it in the United States market by selling it to a bunch of people in Romania who then got it to a French company who sold it in America as a generic levothyroxine. And I know this for a fact because I had a patient who was on an American levothyroxine called Synthroid. That was a brand name. Very good, very 100% safe and effective drug. And all of a sudden they felt tired, their hair started to fall out, they gained a lot of weight.
Wow.
And they were depressed. And so, you know, I'd heard of this, and we sure enough, the pharmacy had switched to a cheaper version, and they charged her the same amount of money.
Of course.
And it didn't work.
I'm concerned. There are advertisements, long 30-minute advertisements, where they convince people through the course of that 30 minutes that not only are they ill, but their solution is just this thing. And they run the ad every week, and it's on a competing radio station, and I'm just disgusted by it because the lie in the story is always, you know, that people have taken this for 1,000 years for something or other. Well, you know something? That doesn't mean it's effective.
Right. There are going to be – okay, what is Chinese medicine? It's got this aura.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the show Goliath on Amazon?
I haven't.
The last season, you know, he got shot, and he's depressed, and he's sick, and he's in San Francisco going to a Chinese doctor.
Yeah.
And the Chinese doctor has an inn with a tea shop. So after he examines the guy, he writes Chinese characters on his wrist, on his hand, and he's supposed to go into the tea shop, and the tea shop person goes, "Oh, you're getting the good stuff today." And mixes up something and he drinks it. Okay, now my mother, bless her heart and bless her soul, was a big believer in Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, over 10,000 years of civilization, trial and error, they might have come up with some good stuff.
Sure.
But it has to be studied. I'm sorry. It has to be studied before I take it.
Okay.
And there are, remember, some of our most effective drugs come from herbs and tree bark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how did we get aspirin? Okay,
believe
it or not, the Native Americans used to chew on willow bark when they got headaches, and so they said, "Well, there must be something to it." And salicylic acid is the main ingredient that, when you chew the bark of a bark chewing tree, it makes your headache go away.
Right.
Digoxin or digitalis. In the 1400s, 1300s in England, there's a lot of people with congestive heart failure. By that, I mean their hearts got weak and flabby, and they wouldn't pump, and the pressure would build up, and the legs would swell up. It was called dropsy because it's like your body was dropping down into your feet. That's edema from congestive heart failure. Well, somebody said, you know, we got this foxglove, and my wife mixed it up with some other herb, and my dropsy went away. And so they figured out that the foxglove, it's flower, I guess, a weed, And they ground it up and they started using it. And then eventually when science came along and they chemistry came along, they found out it was this medicine called digoxin. Now, we don't use it as much anymore. I use it more than most because when you use it, you know, and don't do right with it and you don't measure levels and stuff like that, it can be dangerous. James Bond.
Yeah.
The first one with Daniel Craig, Casino Royale. That's how they tried to kill him. The enemy was playing poker with him, and his girlfriend took his James Bond shaken, not stirred martini and poured some poison in it. And he goes out in his car and has to have defibrillation. Now, it's not real, but the poison was digoxin, digitalis. And it'll kill you. Okay. But you have to, if you're going to be on digoxin, make sure your doctor checks your levels.
Since we're already talking about Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
China has come out, they've announced that they've got several people with H5N6 bird flu. Should I worry about this, please?
Because, okay, how do they do it? The H is one protein on the surface of the flu. And the N, I can remember that, it's called neuraminidase. I don't know what it does, but there are several classifications. So the worst one we got was in the 70s. And those of us who were alive then remember Gerald Ford getting on TV and saying, get your flu shot, we're having a horrible flu. And then those of us who were alive in 1918, which is not very many, will remember that it was H1N1 that caused the massive flu. So the H... 1 through 12, and the I'm just guessing the numbers, and the N, 1 through whatever. Every year, the flu recombines. So you're going to get one strain one year that's H2N3.
Okay.
The next year is H1N1, and we're all going to die. Well, this year, the H5N6 is pretty bad.
Okay.
It's going to cause a pretty serious illness, and a lot of people are susceptible individuals. All I can tell you is last year we dodged the bullet. Remember they said, if you listen to the show, you remember that we were really worried about a combo last winter of COVID and flu hitting us at the same time.
Right.
Well, it turns out we masked up, we washed our hands, we socially isolated, and we prevented the flu. I mean, I didn't have anybody last year, not a single person that I saw with influenza. This year, already two of my staff have gotten it. They were out for a week.
The flu?
Yeah, influenza. Okay. They were influenza A positive. Now, there's A and B. They're both bad, okay? Just remember there's different strains. But the one coming out of China now is H5N6, and our vaccine is not very effective against it. But what does it do? It keeps you from getting really sick. And remember Tamiflu and some others. If you get influenza, do not go to your doctor's office, okay?
Do not.
Do
call.
Not. Yeah, because you sit in the waiting room and you'll get everybody else infected.
Okay, all right.
Call your doctor. You can go to a lab and get the test to confirm if you want to. But if you've got muscle aches, high fevers, dry cough, you got the flu. And if you broke through from your vaccine, ask your doctor whether you're a candidate for Tamiflu. It's a medicine that prevents the flu virus from replicating as much, and it'll lower your symptom complex. And so it's coming on. I don't know if it's going to be as bad as before, but I've got my flu shot. Have you gotten yours?
Yes.
Okay. Do not walk to your nearest pharmacy. You don't need a prescription. It's covered by your insurance.
Right.
Get your flu shot.
And
tell them Dr. Weifald sent you.
I want to. Or Pat Summerall. Either Dr. Weifald or Pat Summerall.
Okay.
I have one question about this. I remember in the past there was a different shot for senior folks.
Yeah, it's just more powerful.
It is.
The higher
should
dose.
I have asked for that?
I got it.
You did.
You know what the shock of my life was?
What?
I went skiing
about
6 years ago.
And?
And the guy asked me, you want the senior rate. I said, how old do you think I am? Well, anyway, at some ski places, 55 gives you the senior rate.
Yes.
And it was like 40% cheaper.
Remember we did the show on a Friday night? I went down the road and had dinner, and I was there at 4 o'clock, and she only charged me $8. I'm like, this is great, terrific. What? Why was it only $8? So I gave you the senior early bird special. So I qualified not only for senior, but the early bird. It was the oldest thing I've ever done. Phil in Raleigh, how you doing, Phil?
Yes, I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. What's going on?
This question's for the doctor.
Sure.
I'm pretty certain that I have epididymitis.
Okay. And that I know a lot about from personal experience. Go on.
I've had it before. I had it as a complication from HIFU several years ago, mm-hmm. and was prescribed some antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And the problem now is it kind of comes and goes. When it comes, it's pretty bad, and then it just kind of goes away, completely, it seems. But I guess my question is, should I go to my general practitioner or urologist?
Okay. Recurrent
epididymitis.
Yeah, sure. Recurrent epididymitis is something that is very difficult for some individuals. Now, let's do some anatomy, okay? The scrotum is the sac that contains the male sexual organ called the, I don't know what you're going to call
testicles.
It. Testicles.
Yes.
And then sitting on, I got to be very careful of what I say, because I think vernacular sometimes is better, okay?
Right.
So the testicle is what you call your balls, okay? It's that round egg-shaped thing that's kind of squishy. On top of that is a collection of tissue called the epididymis, okay? And the epididymis stores sperm. And mm-hmm. then when you have an orgasm, the sperm goes up the spermatic cord and gets, you know, shot out the end. And the epididymis can get infected, and it's retrograde bacteria. They come up through your penis and down your spermatic cord. And the reason why it settles in the epididymis is because things don't move around that much. I mean, especially for you, not having had an ejection of sperm from the, not you, my listener, I'm pointing at Dave. It's been sitting around for a long time. And bacteria can develop. Mycoplasma is a big one. So how do you know you have epididymitis? Your testicle is not sore. It's that clump sitting on top of the testicle becomes extremely sore and
yes.
and big.
Well, there's really
yeah.
very little pain.
Yeah. Well, when I had it, I thought I was going to die.
Mm.
And I went on tetracycline. It went away, which tetracycline is an antibiotic. We now use something called doxycycline. Doesn't matter. And then I went on a different antibiotic called Bactrim. It went away, came back. It was about a year before it went away. Now, one of the other treatments, am I allowed to say this on the show?
I think so.
Okay, is to ejaculate every day, twice a day.
Well,
why?
Prostate.
Yeah, why? It's to get rid of the fluid that's building up in the epididymis. So I tell you, it's very difficult to eradicate sometimes. Now, some people get their dose of antibiotics and it goes away and then doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
The worst situation, and I've seen this, is somebody had to have an orchiectomy because it just would not clear up. Now, it's very important if you think you have epididymitis, and this is getting a long-winded approach to your question, is go to a urologist. And the reason is it can masquerade as something worse, which is called testicular torsion. When your balls and your, well, one of them anyway, hopefully not both, gets twisted around the cord, and it cuts off the blood supply,
mm-hmm.
and it gets enlarged and tender. And so I don't, you know, women are taught self-exams. Men aren't, right?
Right.
Have you ever been taught a sexual
nope.
organ self-exam?
Nope.
And the bottom line is, I think we all should be taught that because you can pick up testicular cancer early. One of your testicles grows larger. You can pick up epididymitis if it's tender on top. Testicular torsion, you know, you're going to lose your testicle if you don't get it untwisted rather quickly. So the long answer to your question is go see a urologist. Number one, they may have specialized knowledge about which antibiotics to try since you may have tried others. They have an ultrasound machine specifically designed for your testicles that can, you know, give you a nice picture of really what's going on. I think a lot of primary care physicians know what to do. But I think if you've had it more than once, I'd go see a urologist. That's not they always get confused. Not with an N, but a U. Urologist.
Got it. Thank you, Phil. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my hands back.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network, where you get better, stay healthy, spot medical misinformation.
And have a good time.
Martha Lillard has been in an iron lung for a long time, decades upon decades. She is still in the iron lung.
Yeah.
What is an iron lung?
Okay, so go back and Google the polio epidemics of the 40s and 50s.
Right.
And what was the major thing? Sure, you get paralyzed and you'd lose your arm. That's horrible. But the worst thing was the diaphragm paralysis. So what's the diaphragm? It's like a drum of muscles between the abdomen and the lungs. That's what makes you breathe.
Right.
Okay. So your lungs don't have muscle. Your lungs are passive. And they have air come in, and you get the oxygen out of it, and you get the carbon dioxide out of the blood, and you breathe it out. It works by the diaphragm. So basically, the diaphragm contracts and gets negative pressure in the thorax, which is the ribs and the muscles. The lungs sitting in the thorax are now under negative pressure. The air comes in. Okay, so when you're on a ventilator, it's working just the opposite. So you got this tube in your throat.
Right.
And it's blowing air into your lungs. Okay, so it's the absolute opposite. Instead of air getting sucked into your lung, when you're on a ventilator, it blows into your lung. Well, they didn't have ventilators back then. They didn't have plastic with balloons on the end that would go into your throat. They had something really cool. They put a collar around your neck. I don't know how tight it was. I'm imitating when it's a collar around your neck that was airtight.
Right.
And then they put you in a tube. Okay.
Big tube.
And the tube was sealed. So
yes.
Your whole body was sealed. And they would suck the air out of this huge tube that contained your entire body except for your head sticking out. And it would... And then the negative pressure would breathe air into your lungs.
Right.
But it was your whole body under negative pressure. Okay, it worked. It kept people alive. And yet they were, you know, their heads were outside. They were looking around. They were eating normally, you know. I always ask the question, if you just put something in your mouth, would it get sucked into your stomach by the negative pressure? Now you had to swallow still. But it was usually temporary. Because usually the diaphragm would get a little strong,
okay.
And then you could train it to get stronger, and you get out of the iron lung, okay, because these were made out of metal.
Right.
Okay. So there's one lady left in the United States of America who had polio, and her diaphragms never got better. The last woman